couple of scriptures this morning which you may find even a little tedious and perhaps even a little unusual for communion. I am, first of all, in the last chapter, the 25th chapter of 2 Kings, beginning with the 8th verse. On the 7th day of the 5th month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, commander of the guards, a servant of the king of Babylon, entered Jerusalem. He burned the Lord's temple, the king's palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. They destroyed the city. He burned down all the great houses. The whole Chaldean army with the commander of the guards tore down the walls surrounding Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guards, deported the rest of the people who were left in the city, the deserters who had defected to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the population. And now to the end of the chapter. On the 27th day of the 12th month of the 37th year of the exile of Judah's king Jehoiakim, in the year Evil-Merodach became king of Babylon, he pardoned King Jehoiakim of Judah and released him from prison. He spoke kindly to him and set his throne over the thrones of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed his prison clothes, and he dined regularly in the presence of the king of Babylon for the rest of his life. As for his allowance, a regular allowance was given to him by the king, a portion for each day for the rest of his life. And the end of the book of Jeremiah. On the 25th day of the 12th month of the 37th year of the exile of Judah's king Jehoiakim, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, pardoned King Jehoiakim of Judah and released him from prison. He spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the thrones of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed his prison clothes, and he dined regularly in the presence of the king of Babylon for the rest of his life. As for his allowance, a regular allowance was given to him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, for the rest of his life. May God's word speak to us this day and become real in our lives. He became king when he was 18 years old. He reigned for 8 years. And then the Babylonians came in and they captured the city of Jerusalem. They basically destroyed everything and they took everyone prisoner. And like was the custom of the time, they took all the prisoners out of the land. What they understood is that if they left you in your own home territory, you'd always be rebellious. But if we move you 1,000 miles away, chances are less that you're going to be rebellious. And so they transplanted people all the time. Jehoiakim was moved to Babylon, and he was kept in a damp, dark prison cell in solitary confinement for the next 37 years. He was allowed no visitors. Jehoiakim is now 55 years old. He's stooped, he's bent, he's struggling with health issues, and he is broken. His life, the rest of it, such as it is, stretches before him, predictable, solitary, painful, lonely, and long. But wait, there's noise in the hall. It's at the wrong time. A key is in the lock, and the tumblers turn. The door opens, and in walks the king, Evil-Merodach, And that is actually his name. Evil-Merodach has just become king. He remembers Jehoiakim in prison, and one of his first acts is to physically go, get up and go and visit Jehoiakim in prison in his cell. Evil-Merodach comes to the cell. He goes in. He bends down. He lifts the bowed head of Jehoiakim. He smiles, and he gently speaks three words, just three words. You are free. You are free. The king leads Jehoiakim from his cell. He orders him a bath. He gives him a room and new clothes and invites him to dinner. Well, now, picture the scene. The time for dinner has come. The banquet takes place in the most sumptuous banquet hall in Babylon. Think about that, what that must have looked like, the pageantry, the splendor. The various lords and leaders of Babylon are all present, seated at tables. The hall is decorated, the tables are set. Evil-Merodach sits at the head table, which is on a platform in the front of the room. He's by himself with a few leading lords and family members. A slight figure enters. The figure enters from the back of the room in the corner. He is stooped. He's stooped externally, and his psyche internally, his deep inner self, is also bowed. Obviously the result of those years of imprisonment. Is bypassed intentionally the fanfare and presentation and adulation and recognition of the lords and ladies that are there, only seeking a seat at the very unnoticed edge of the banquet. It is enough for him that he's finally free. The reality has really not set in yet. It's enough for him that his head has been lifted up after all those 37 years of loneliness. A stir starts moving across the banquet hall as the new visitor, as he comes in, is interrupted. Instead of being placed at the side of the banquet hall where he wants to be, this frail figure is called to the front. He's called to the platform. He's given a seat at the head table at the right hand of Evil-Merodach, above all the leaders of Babylon. This is a picture for us, perhaps one of the best pictures in the Old Testament, of what it means to come to this table. It is a picture of what it means to break the bread and to lift the cup. It means for us laying aside our prison clothes to dine with the king. It means that we are now free to become the men and women that God has created us to be. It means that now we have the opportunity to live life as God intends for it to be lived. And it means that God invites us to this indescribable feast of freedom. So let me ask you this morning, what is it right now for you that is binding you, that is keeping you from being internally or externally a totally free person? What memories of the past, what relationships in the present, what uncertainties of the future are holding you down, are keeping you bound. What cycle of condemnation do you find yourself locked into? What inflexibility of thinking? What habit patterns? What compulsions are keeping you locked in the prison of life? Why is it that you most need and strongestly react to certain life situations the way you do? Why is it that you find it so difficult to grow to be, the Lord, to continue to grow to be the most liberated, unique person that God has meant you to be? Jesus Christ himself moves among us at this banquet, and our bound and imprisoned spirits are suddenly lifted. We see him as he takes a hold of us. He lifts us up, lovingly, tenderly. We see him face to face. And all of a sudden, we are experiencing communion with him in a new way. Our past prison garb no longer fits us. It binds. It restricts. We want to be free. The Holy Spirit comes within us as we reach out for this sacrament of God's grace. As we eat this bread and drink this wine, God comes to live in us in a new and special way. And from within us, he does a really special thing. From deep below the level of words, God somehow assures us in our spirits that we are, in spite of everything, forgiven. Whatever distracts us, or binds us, or bothers us, or disturbs us, whatever gives us a sense of guilt or uncertainty, when we come into his presence, can be washed away. And God smiles at us. He reminds us that he can take the raw material of our lives, our futures, and shape us into something ordained and almost supernatural and positive. To those of us who would come to the banquet hall ashamed, who fear to come to the table, God says, come up higher. That's the wrong seat. The head table's up here. Come higher. God says, come, join me at the head table as my honored guest. Come sit with me, for I have released you from your prison cell. I love you. I want you to be free. Friends, it is my honor to invite you to share in this feast of freedom, to come and dine with the Lord and his people as one who has been set free to live fully in Christ. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Amen.